Intro and outro to that. So
Oh, yeah, no,
easier.
I got it.
That's just easier.
I got it all right covered. You ready to actually start the show?
Sure.
Here's the beginning of the show.
I'm really glad that we went with the shorter one. Now that it's on the soundboards and it's easier. Hang on, let me get my cards here.
I do virtual notes, but yeah.
Well, no, these are the
sponsors.
Yes. It's sponsored by Tidy Fresh.
Hey, have we ever seen any revenue dollars from that sponsor?
No.
They just said no.
Yeah, they're like, no, not good. Not good. No, this is all our social media stuff.
Yeah.
So welcome, everyone, to the documentary show. Got to make sure I'm not spiking here. Okay, I'm good.
You get it.
The
dropping D's, popping P's.
I am Keith Bodella.
And I'm John Oldfield.
Uh-huh. This is the first podcast recorded on the new equipment.
On the new equipment, on a new year.
Mm. Yeah, Happy New Year. What did you do for the new year?
We did a murder mystery.
I really do feel like we're on the radio show now.
Yeah, I did a murder mystery. It's the second one we've done.
Murder mystery.
Second one we've done. The first one, I was the murderer, which was fun. This one, I was not the murderer, but I picked the murderer right from the beginning. I knew it was her, so that was fun. Yeah, it was a good time. Got drunk.
How did you know it was her? Just instinct?
I had the right clues. Guess? No, I had the right clues.
But how did you know right away?
Because I had my initial clue led me to her, and then I had follow-up clues that kept it on track.
Okay, so your initial clue
I think
led
my,
you
my
to
secondary
her.
Clues were very complimentary to my initial clues.
Okay.
So, all right,
so it was, but it was that first clue that you got that you were like, oh,
yes.
She must have done it. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I did took part in a mystery writing class as a kid or something.
Okay.
It was like a summer thing, and I was like, I want to do that. So this kid reads this like short like murder mystery thing.
Sure.
And they're like, Zen, want to take a guess who did it? And I raise my hand and I go, the butler. And they go, yeah, how did you know? And I went, because the butler always does it.
Butler does it.
I was like, the butler always does it, guys.
What'd you do for New Year?
I had to work on New Year's Day.
That's well, New Year's
Day. I'm sorry, not New Year's Day. New Year's Eve New Year's day. Eve. But but I'm still home.
They just
time.
Call it New Year's Eve.
We watch New Year's Eve. That's true. Fair enough. All right, fine. I was done. Came home. We put on what we expected to be Dix Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve. Was not that.
Was it the Ryan Seacrest thing?
Well, no, it was Ryan Seacrest, but it was still the news. I assumed it was like.
Oh yeah, we were watching. There was a lot of lead up. And then we're like, about an hour in, we're like, let's get ready.
Yeah.
And it was the news.
Yeah, and then it switches back to the news. And
I didn't like it. I was like, what?
So then we did that. We watched Mariah Carey perform, complain about her tea. I'm going to try this even though I don't have any tea.
Oh, I didn't know about that. I didn't have any sound.
Oh, you
we didn't watch
seen,
with the sound.
You haven't seen the Mariah Carey thing? Hang on, let me see. Now that we have new technology.
Do you say 2018 or do you say 2018?
I don't think I've said the date out loud yet.
If you were going to, what would you say?
Now I don't know.
Because 2018 is a lot better, but 2018, I think I said 2017, but I think I'm now going to say 2018.
I think I might say 2018. Videos? Okay. Is this recording? Yeah, I think it should be.
No, this is the tea disaster. Let's get an ad, Jay.
There we go.
Happy New Year! I just want to take a sip of tea, if they'll let me. They told me there would be tea. Oh, it's a disaster. Okay, well, we'll just have to rough it. I'm going to be just like everybody else with no hot tea.
Does it sound like a cyborg to you? Because it does for my audio.
Position.
Happy New Year! I just want to take a sip of tea, if they'll let me. They told me there would be tea. Oh, it's a disaster. Okay, well, we'll just have to rough it. I'm going to be just like everybody else with no hot tea.
No hot tea. No hot tea. No hot tea.
Now, did she... Remember she messed up last year?
Oh, yeah.
Was that New Year's or Christmas?
That was New Year's.
So she redeemed herself, or no?
I mean... She did, but then there was the tea thing. Teagate 2018.
Oh,
okay,
no.
I would say 2018.
There it is.
There you go.
I got you to say it.
Yeah. All right.
Well, good for her. Did she ever get the tea?
Yes. She later tweeted this picture
of the tea.
Of her getting tea Found my tea. Emoji for tea.
What what new emojis do you hope come out in 2018?
New emojis?
Like, what do you need? What emoji would you use?
I mean, I don't use a lot of emojis.
I don't use a lot. So I use the thumbs up.
I don't know if there's one that I would want to see.
I use the thumbs up a lot.
You know what I don't think there's one for? I don't think there's one for, like, scotch. There's, like, a beer glass and a wine glass and a champagne and, like, a martini. There's no, like scotch.
Like something on the rocks.
Yeah, there's no, like, scotch one.
Okay. That's cool. I can see that.
You know, I'd like to see more Iron Man emojis.
Like the superhero?
Yeah.
Okay. I bet there's got to be some kind of pack, some kind of app of
there's
like
probably is.
Superhero yeah. things. Meh.
All right, yeah, that's that app.
That's that.
All right.
So we tested the new tech.
Yeah.
And it's up and running.
Did you... okay, so you've introduced yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've introduced myself.
I can remember. I introduced myself.
I said what I did for New Year.
I also celebrated the Central Time New Year's as well. And then we went to bed.
And why?
Just because I was up. And it was like 5 minutes. And my wife's like, let's go to bed. And I was like, let me just stay up 5 minutes and like see how they do it.
Right.
And then I think I looked into, there was the girl that like the Dick Clark's people had in like Florida, maybe?
All right.
Or no, New Orleans?
New Orleans. They did have somebody.
And like, I didn't know who she was. And I was just like, who is she? And I looked it up and she's like 23. And like, I was like, man, my life. Wow.
Missed it by that much.
This one's shorter, so we're gonna play that one.
Email us and Facebook us.
Yes.
And Instagram us.
Facebook, facebook.com/thedocumentaryshow. Twitter is at Doc Show Pod. The Instagram that we don't use anymore is also Doc Show Pod. And John, do you want to guess our email?
It is docshowpod@gmail.com. you know, if I would have wore the same flannel that you're wearing, we could have, that would have been great Instagram.
But, man.
So, maybe next year.
I mean, we're going to record since then.
Yeah, but
yeah,
the Instagram isn't going to happen.
We got, yeah.
We're not great at it.
We got thrown off with the or at least I did, with the holidays.
I definitely was thrown off.
But we're back. Hopefully, I'm hoping maybe we can try and do this like every 2 weeks.
I know it seems so easy when we're doing it, but like the time, like whenever you're thinking about it,
yeah. As soon as we hit like a hiccup, we're like, oh no.
Oh, I'll catch it next month.
Yeah. That's one of my New Year's resolutions.
That's actually a really good resolution.
Is to be better and more consistent at podcasts.
This isn't really a resolution, but I started doing it like about a week ago. I've been trying to exercise more at home.
Okay.
Like in the in between times, I'm still big into jujitsu. So this is like in the in between times.
You doing DDP yoga?
No, I'm doing more of like I do like 60 push-ups, 60 sit-ups, and 60 other exercises.
60 is like a lot.
But like 3 sets of 20.
That's still a lot.
I
like
know.
All at once.
Like 20 push-ups, 20 sit-ups, 20
like
squats,
like a circuit.
20 push-ups, 20 sit-ups, 20 squats.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's good. Makes me feel good.
All right, maybe I'll have to try doing that. Do you do it in the morning?
I do it whenever. I do it when I'm like watching TV probably. But I have a calendar, and I put a little 60 if I did my 60 things.
Yeah.
And I put like a JJ if I did jujitsu. I put PRO if I drank a protein shake that day. So like it's a lot, because I can see when there's days that I didn't do anything, and that makes me feel bad.
What's the protein shake, dude?
I don't eat enough.
Okay.
So I think it's just additional food.
Calories?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Like, I haven't eaten today yet. We were going to go get food. Messed up. Didn't eat anything. I had a yogurt.
Okay. All right. I mean, do you want...
No.
Well, I mean, you're on the liquid diet.
I had a yogurt.
Okay. Okay.
But I think the visual helps, the calendar.
Yeah, yeah, the visual tracking. I'm a visual person, which is why I do, like, paper notes.
Visual notes. So,
yeah. You do the digital.
Still visual, though.
All right, first one up, because we had to check. So actually, this is the first episode recorded in the new year, but not the first episode that'll come out in the new year.
That's true.
Because I'm trying to get the other
come
episode
out sometime mid-March.
Wednesday. Well, I'm trying to get the next one up Wednesday, and then this will be like 2 weeks after that, but in the interim, hopefully, we've recorded since then.
Yeah, and I don't know if the new tech will help, But I would think this will help on the editing side, right? Because there was less stuff to put in.
Yeah, we don't have to. We're not going to have to put in the trailers and stuff, and it should.
So that's
be.
Something.
Yeah. Although I think the one thing that might be complicated is it. I think it record like each track that we're recording
is separate.
Is separate. So I think in
like each one of those lights.
Yeah. So each one, each time I have to like. Delete something, I'm gonna have to, but I might mix it all together, and then if there's a problem.
Now when you say delete something, you mean because then it will shrink it down? You could just put in silence.
Well, I'm gonna like have to like delete or put in silence for all three tracks. I'll figure it out.
I see what you're saying.
I think it's gonna be easier, but I don't know.
But we don't know
because we have the intro and outro already cut in and the trailers, so that saves a bunch of time.
Yeah. And I mean, we knock this other, we just do it, so we're fine.
Yeah.
we should do this live.
First, like in front of people?
Yeah, like in front of a big theater.
I mean, I guess we could. I'd be okay with that.
They'd be like, what movie are you talking about?
We didn't know what this was.
It's like, you told us to watch this 3 months ago.
You're not wrong there.
Your pick.
My pick is up first. It's called American Anarchist, and it is about William Powell, who wrote the my notes say William Powell who wrote American Anarchist.
No.
Who wrote the Anarchist cookbook. Actually done by Charlie Siskel, who also did
Ebert.
No, he did not do either. He also directed Finding Vivian Mayer.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I like that one better.
So, well, yeah.
Yeah. Vivian Mayer ruled.
Well, here's my question, though, before we actually play the trailer. I feel like we've done this a few times. We just end up picking movies that have been done by the same people. But I don't look at directors when I'm picking a movie.
No, I definitely don't.
So it's just
I haven't looked at directors yet. I'm going to Google it right now for my movie.
So is it that we just pick... I don't think I've looked up a director for your movie either.
I'll find.
Is it just that we like...
We like what we like.
Is it just the subject matter that the cover we just end up liking?
I think we like what we like.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. But now, what was that guy's name? John Mayer? Who's the director? Who's the guy you just said?
Charlie Siskel?
No. Wasn't there a guy that did Vivian Mayer that tweeted us?
No. That was the guy that did Broken Castle. That no, worked at that, producer.
Yeah, but I'm telling you.
It might have been a producer.
Maybe. I thought it was somebody Mayer.
I don't think so.
Maybe not. I'm thinking or Vivian like, Mayer.
Yeah, maybe that's what you're thinking. Okay.
So maybe it was the Siskel guy.
Okay, so here's the... We'll play the shorter trailer. Can you hear that?
Okay. You know, we talk about the cliche of the skeleton in the closet. Well, my skeleton's not in the closet. My skeleton is in print. And I live with that.
The Anarchist Cookbook.
The Anarchist Cookbook.
The Anarchist Cookbook.
A do-it-yourself bomb-making manual.
I was 19. I was angry. I thought the government was out of control. We were going to move from irresponsible power in the hands of old white men and put it into the common domain. I mean, whose hands should it begin?
So many bombings in the 70s, and we would frequently find the Anarchist Cookbook at the bomber's house.
I really kind of reclused myself. I didn't want to know. The last thing I wanted to know was that it had been used in some sort of escapade that had ended up hurting people.
When was the first time you learned a connection between an act of violence and a book?
It was Columbine. I had no idea. Why would I make the connection?
You had written a book about it, an instructional book.
I'm getting the impression that you want me to say something I'm not saying.
Do you feel responsible?
If you're asking, do I wish I had done more? Yes.
Wow. Powerful stuff.
Okay. I want to... this. Oh, maybe that'll be my next one.
No, I totally didn't pick a next one.
I know which one you should pick.
Okay, well, we'll get to it.
I know which one I thought you were going to pick. It popped up on Netflix for me the other day.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's good. It's gone.
Is this the computer thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I want to watch that. I don't know what it's called.
Well, because that's the game that you were talking about. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Oh, I definitely want to watch that.
Okay. So that's your
teaser.
Stay tuned. Later in the episode, we'll find out what John's going to watch.
All the real fans are like, we know what game he was talking about.
Yeah, yeah, we've been listening since day one. Where have you guys been? That's not how our fans talk.
No.
They're all like, I say, I've wondered where they've been.
They're just all from Paraguay.
So I wanted to actually play just the, since we have this technology.
Wow.
Just like the little bit of the intro.
Okay.
But what did you think? I know you liked it better than...
I liked Vivian Mayer better.
Yeah.
There's stuff I'm sure we'll get into, like when we go tear through the other stuff. The things I liked, which I always get to first, it's only an hour and 20 minutes long, which is great. Anything under an hour and a half is awesome. It was really just the director or producer, whoever the interviewer was, talking to the writer of the Anarchist Cookbook. I wish there was more interviews.
You mean like with other people?
Like, I wish there was more characters, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the story is really just about him. Like, there's nobody else to talk to, really.
But there weren't, right? If there was a cop that, like, oh, yeah, whenever we searched their house and we found the Anarchist Cookbook, we were like, of course, obviously. Like, I would like to have seen that interview.
Yeah, okay. Like, get somebody else's perspective.
Somebody that doesn't like the Anarchist Cookbook. I mean, he doesn't love it, but...
I mean, he doesn't really like it either.
No.
It's interesting, but here's the thing. I never thought about the fact that somebody actually sat down and wrote the Anarchist Cookbook.
I never really thought about it that one person I thought it was just an internet post.
Yeah,
almost.
I didn't even know that it had an author. I thought it was just like something that existed.
Exactly.
Like you know, like the Bible. There's no author. It's just somebody.
I mean, like, you get like the Book of blank.
Yeah, but somebody else wrote this stuff down. It's just like his story told to the other guy, you know. But you know,
yeah, anyway. This and that. Hey, what do we get to do?
Oh man.
The book, as I read it, advocates the violent overthrow of the American government.
Long pause.
I was very fed up with the government. But it wasn't a call to action. There's no call to action in the book itself.
How often do you read the book?
I haven't read it since I wrote it. I don't have a copy of it. On the original,
so
it was just the warning.
He talked about this for a minute, but here I think it's the next part. If not, stop it.
Also, more
almost all the recipes. He's talking about, like, there's a constant thing that happens throughout where he's like, he says something,
yes,
and then they show something, or the director says something to him, and is just like, well, not real. And he's like, okay, well, you know.
There's a handful of parts where he'll say a quote. And then he'll say, and now let's not dig into that, because I don't know if I believe, like, what I just said.
I might be a little bit off of what I'm saying.
I don't think that...
I don't think I hoped they would do anything with it, quite frankly.
This is a book for anarchists, those who feel able to discipline themselves on all the subjects from drugs to weapons to explosives.
I don't think the book actually says this is what you should do with this information. In fact, it doesn't.
A freedom fighter can never surrender, for if he does, he becomes part of the problem. There is no trial in times of trouble, just torture and death.
So he hasn't read it since he died. So clearly, like, the first part was done one interview, right, and then, like, either that next day or later that day, they're just like, how about you read the Anarchist Cookbook? And right, he was just like, oh.
We talked about it there, but the whole time, it seems like he's trying to defend himself like he's at a trial. Right? Like, he doesn't give full answers. The answer he does give, I don't know if he actually believes the answer that he's saying. I feel like he's just trying to almost give, like, the right answer. Like, yeah, like, do you think this is a bad book? And he's like, I think this is just a book. It's just paper with words.
I think he's just in denial about the whole thing. Maybe. Like, I think because you finally get, like, a clear answer out of him, because one of the things that he talks about that I say I don't believe him about is, they're like, well, when was the first time that you heard of it, like, inspiring violence,
right,
and being connected to
it? That's
a
good little segment.
And he says Columbine, which is interesting because he actually ends up becoming a teacher.
Yeah, and, like, a well-respected one a little bit. I mean, it's hard for him to get jobs, but I think he's a good teacher.
Yeah, no, but he's especially working with, like, kids that need, like, extra help, like, to have problems.
Support.
And, like, learning support, exactly. And it seems to be, like, in countries that, like, need it, too.
Yeah.
But then he's like, well, that was the first time. And then later on, they're like, well, what about the 70s? And he's like, I don't know, I moved to whatever. And they're like, what about the 80s? And he's like, well, by that point, like, sales had died down.
And he's
like,
it was pretty much gone.
It was, yeah, it wasn't anything. And then they're like, what about 81 and 85? And he's like, look, I moved to Tanzania. We didn't have a TV in Tanzania.
He's like, I didn't have a phone.
There's no TV in Tanzania. How am I supposed to know this? I didn't do this. So it's like, I don't know. He's just like, I think, because he does, and he says in the trailer, the part where he's like, you're being combative, and I feel like you want me to say, yes, something that I haven't said yet, so what do you want me to say? Just say it.
I think that's also true. I think that the director does want him to say, like,
well,
claim responsibility. Like,
I think that, or I think the director just wants to get, like, an actual reaction,
just, like,
because,
him, yeah,
because he is acting like he's on trial, and
yeah,
he's like,
just keep pushing him.
I do not recall hearing of a time when the cookbook was used in a violent way. I do not recall.
What I do not recall.
Yeah. What about 1973? I do not recall.
Yeah. Now,
what about 74? Long pause. I do not recall.
Now, who made my last note is, because I didn't do any research, but who made this and why? Like, what's the point of this? Of the movie. Was it to get this guy in trouble? Was it to get him to claim responsibility? Was it just to show people that there is an author to this book?
So I don't know. I didn't look into it, but here's what I got out of it. I think it's to get people to think about the guy that wrote it, and to get people thinking about, I think it's also to kind of get people thinking about, like, why these terrible things happen and why they all seem to have the Anarchist Cookbook. Because, you know, everybody talks about, as soon as, like, a violent thing happens, they're like, oh, a mass shooting, you know, it's guns, you know, it's terrorists, it's whatever. But nobody ever talks about, like, okay, well, how did these people end up this way to the point,
right,
where they're doing it? But they all seem to converge on the Anarchist Cookbook. So I think it's like a what thing is going on in our country and what things have happened to kind of create this environment. And because he talks about like his past and his troubled past, and like his dad actually worked for the UN, which I thought was kind of like kind of ironic, I guess. That the guy that would create the anarchist cookbook, his dad worked for the
like a super government.
Yeah, for the Secretary General, whatever it's called in the UN. But he talks about that, and like they moved to England, and he was alienated in England because he was from America, and then they came back to America, and he had developed like a British accent. So then he was alienated here because he had a British accent. And he was bullied and like made fun of in school, and I guess he had a little bit of a learning disability or something.
No, he talks about a time where he's, I think it's like almost like a stress, like he's stressed out at school.
Yeah, yeah.
He just kind of can't manage it.
So
on the spectrum, maybe.
And then there's another point where he's basically molested, which I didn't understand the circumstances surrounding that, but he's just like, and then he fondled me. So I made an excuse and I left, and I like, and
I think some like, other boys put some Bengay on someone's balls.
I think he said that he was involved in it.
I know he was around, but I he's like the only one
so he got in trouble, and they were like, well, we're gonna do, so we got a jock strap or something, and then like he was like, I was expecting something else, but then like he fondled me. And I was just like, okay. Yeah. But again, he says it just like he says everything else in this movie, so matter-of-factly for the most part. But I think it's trying to figure out, like, it's not a gun issue, like, when school shootings happen. It's not, it's like a problem with the culture in the country, and like...
But guns make it easier.
Oh, yeah.
So this book makes it easier.
It can, yeah.
If you need a bomb... And there's a book that shows you how to make it.
But then again, it goes, I think the thing is, it's not, while it does make it easier, it's also trying to figure out what they can do and like what's actually causing the problem.
I agree.
And why everybody's kind of drawn to it. The other thing though is that he gets to early on is he basically copied a lot of the like how-to stuff from army manuals. So all that information's out there.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Because like even if like we woke up tomorrow and there was no way to make explosives and there was no guns, people would still want to do these things. So they would just, which we've seen before, like start stabbing a whole bunch of people,
right,
or just drive a car into a group of people.
Right.
Like, it's gonna happen.
That's true.
So
that's what I think of this book, like a gun store. Like, the problem is a crazy person, but if the person has access to a gun, it makes it easier for them to kill people. If you have access to a book that shows you how to make bombs, it makes it easier.
Yeah.
The problem is the crazy person, or the society that made the person feel crazy or feel bad, but yeah, the book makes it a lot easier. So yeah, there's some, I don't know what the level of responsibility is, but there's some level. It's not zero.
So here's the thought, though. Is the follow-up documentary to this documentary about the role that Fight Club had in, like, bringing back the popularity of the Anarchist Cookbook?
Could be.
Because, like, that comes from... I want to say that was probably part of what kind of resurged... Like, it's always been around.
Right.
But I feel like it's come up more. Especially in the internet age.
I think the internet.
It was the internet age, and I think Fight Club.
Yeah, I think the internet for sure. But you're right. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, Fight Club's like the fiction movie of this book.
Yeah, it's basically about like anarchy and stuff. And they're just like, I think the original, I have to look it up. I don't think it is in the book too. I think they made him change it. But I think his original copy of the book had like an actual recipe to make explosives that he got from the Anarchist Cookbook. And I almost want to buy a copy of it just to have.
I would only buy it off like Craigslist from a person. Like, yeah. I don't want to order it.
Well, it's $26.96 on Amazon, and I have Prime so I can get it in 2 days.
That's expensive.
It is.
I was thinking $24.99, and I know it's only a difference of $2, but still.
Yeah. But they also do, like, they all, because they do talk about the internet. And what I like is he releases a statement about it through Amazon.
Via an Amazon review?
No, they, like, he, I think he contacted Amazon. Oh, and it okay. just says, it says, like, from the author, oh, okay. and it has the stuff on it. But it says, but he does, like, kind of express regret about it and everything.
Right.
But it...
Is it? It's not regret, it's remorse.
Remorse.
He says he's remorseful, he's not remorseful, regretful.
Yeah.
And I can't quite figure out what the difference is. I think there is a difference, but I can't put it into words.
Yeah, I don't know. There is some kind of a difference, but yeah, I
when
know.
You look up the definitions for both words,
yeah,
they are the same.
Okay. Maybe that's just like in his head.
I almost can see what he's saying, but no.
Yeah. So like he... I lost my train of thought.
In his response on Amazon, he's remorseful.
Okay. But what I like about that is, like, the kids that are buying it on Amazon are like, well, let me see what the from the author says. Oh, he's remorseful about this. Hey, Jay, I don't think we should do this.
No, because, and I don't know actually what's in it because I didn't, you know, haven't read it, but. He even talks about how people are probably, he says probably, drawn to, like, the pictures and not, like, the content, like, the rest of the book. Do you think there a difference between, like, in the parts that are written, do you think there's some things to make sense and things to think about, but a lot of people are just drawn to the, like, how to turn a shotgun into a grenade launcher?
That was the example I was going to bring up to you, because there's a lot of, like, how to make silencers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I almost want to read it just because I want to read, like, the rhetoric in it.
Well, that's like, it sounds, what's not like the...
what he's reading from about, like, overthrowing the government, is that, like, just in, like, a beginning part? Or is each part he's like, here's how you turn a shotgun into a grenade launcher? Because, in like, the tyranny of the evil government has become too much. Like, right. Is it just thrown in? Or is it just, like, in sections? But it's like, there's also so many YouTube clips of people doing, and I think part of it too is like, especially now with the internet, there's a lot of like, people who are just like, let's try to make a bomb or like try to make a flamethrower. Right. Like there's one point, there's like a kid holding like a flamethrower.
I don't know. Oh, if like a squirt gun or something?
Yeah, like.
There's like a super soaker that has gasoline in it or something.
Yeah, I want to... Where was the Google part? It's more towards the end, right? Because they're like, did you ever Google it? And he's like, well, yeah. And then I never really looked that much into it. Like, I think it was kind of, for him, it was like a see no evil, hear no evil right. kind of thing.
And he does say he wrote it as a 19-year-old. And he was just a more... Like, he's... And I think it's probably true. Like, everybody at 19 thinks the government sucks and like... is like part of like the counterculture, like hippie type of vibe.
Yeah.
But he like wrote a book and he wrote a real crazy book, but like not a lot of people do that. So that's what makes him different. He had the same feelings as everybody else at the time. It was just, he wrote a book that showed you how to make a bomb.
Yeah. And the, oh, here it is. So they do like a whole
YouTube section.
I don't know if the volume's on or not.
Oh, right there. Right.
Look at that. That's like a kid. That's like, I don't know if I can screenshot this. Where's that?
Where's that thing that like you can draw the little box? Oh, there you go.
I don't know if it's gonna take it though. No, it won't. I think there's a different app I can go through.
Encryption.
Yeah. If I can figure out how to get that thing, though, it'll be on our Instagram, at DocTrioPod. But yeah, there's like a kid, and then there's this whole... Like, it just goes off, and then there's this part where there's an unboxing video for the Anarchist Cookbook, yeah, which right. I think is ridiculous.
People making...
But then there's like
cocktails.
People getting hurt. There's like a... bound version of it that was oddly made. But yeah, like that guy might set himself on fire. That guy like blows himself away. This blows up and this kid, right next to this kid's face. And he's just like, I can't hear anything
now,
anymore.
See, that was always the thing that I remember as a kid, was how to make napalm. It was like dissolving styrofoam in gasoline.
Oh, yeah,
that
was
always like, that was like the cool recipe that I would know.
But there's got to be more to it than that,
I would think.
But yeah, they're just like, how do you make napalm? Oh, and then this like Columbine game was real weird.
Oh, 8-bit Columbine game.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. But it's just, it seems like something at some point that, like, I guess, so, like, if I was in maybe more rural area, like, I was in Texas, say, and, like, my family had a bunch of land, and we were just riding around in trucks all the time, and, like, hanging out with my friends, like, far away from people.
Sure.
And they were just like, dude, Anarchist Cookbook, let's try and make napalm. I'd be like, all right, yeah. I'm 16, let's go make some napalm.
Right.
So, I mean, there's that level to it too, but I just find it weird that like, so it sounds like if I wanted to go like learn how to make napalm, I could either order the Anarchist Cookbook or I could go find just, like military manuals and they'd be like, here's how you make napalm.
I mean, I think in 2018, you just Google it.
Right.
And someone who's ripped off the Anarchist Cookbook or has found their own recipe or whatever, it's just, the internet is the new Anarchist Cookbook.
But I'm saying like,
times a million.
I think like, they kind of are saying like how bad this thing is, but at the same time, that information, a lot of it was already available.
Right.
What I also find interesting is he never did any of it.
So he says.
I believe him when he's like, I never made any of.
But
like,
why did he write this? Just because he was mad? He was mad.
So his idea
he felt on the outside.
His idea for making it was, this is information that people like violent groups like the Weather Underground
have.
And the government have. And especially like when he started looking into it and he could get a bunch of the stuff from like manuals, he was like, well, if I can like just get this information, everybody should have this information. I guess it was almost like the idea,
like a Second Amendment kind of thing,
I guess. But it was also kind of, I guess, like the idea of like a nuclear deterrent.
Right.
He's like, if we have this information and they have this information, like, we're at a stalemate.
Right. Yeah, I got you.
Speaking, actually, of government manuals.
You have one.
I have a couple. I have one in New Jersey. I really thought that was going to break.
Yeah, that was a close one. Oh yeah, you're an amateur lockpick.
Yeah,
and like, I'm not gonna lockpick anything illegal. I just want to know how to do it.
Right. I mean, the lockpicks have the knowledge.
No, the lockpicks are just tools.
No. Well, the lockpicks are pieces of metal. But I'm saying locksmiths have
the
knowledge.
Oh,
so
yeah.
All of us should have the knowledge.
Why can't we all just know how to pick locks?
Do you think that's in the cookbook? That seems like something that would be worth knowing.
You know, I don't know. They never really cover. They really just cover the dangerous stuff.
They talk about bombs, explosives, some firearms, and drugs. But they don't really go into the drugs.
It might be in there. Because the other thing that they don't talk about, but he talks about getting stuff from, like, Escape and Evade manual.
Okay.
So I think there is some other stuff in there that's not.
Do you think he has any, like, one-inch punch? Bruce Lee, like, kind
no,
of, like,
I don't think he put that in there. But there is like one about like how to sneak up a guy and like put him in a chokehold.
Yeah.
A little drawing about that.
That makes sense. Did he do the drawings?
He said he did some of them. I think he copied some of them from just manuals and stuff. But I think he said that he did some of them. One point I was gonna make before though was his wife brings up a really good point, which she just goes like, "Well, yeah, like I knew about it from early on, but like." The person that wrote that, I never saw any of, like,
right.
The emotions or anything in William, so... And he's got to go by William, right? He doesn't seem like a guy that would go by
Bill,
right? Or Will.
Not definitely
but she
not
was
Will.
Like, she was like, I don't see anything like him. And she says, lots of adolescents do dumb things, but not all of them put it in print.
Put it in a book, yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny. It's a funny title, because it comes... It's not anarchy if you could buy it on Amazon. You know? Like, if he would have just distributed this on the internet, like, if he would have Linuxed this, then it would have been fine.
Well, he didn't have that option.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, if it was, if he just made this public knowledge to anybody that wanted it, I guess he doesn't have
it. Like, if he just printed it out and gave it out to people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, if you have to buy it, that's not anarchy. That's just you selling a book.
That's capitalism. That is literally capitalism. Well, the one thing that I thought was funny was he started getting death threats, and the director's like, well, what did you do? And he goes, I bought a gun. And he's like, you didn't go to the cops or anything? He's like, no, I wrote the anarchist cookbook.
I don't know if it would work. I don't know if it makes sense.
I'd look like an idiot to go to the cops and be like, hey, guys. So it looks like, you know what it reminded me of? It kind of reminded me of the Becoming Bond documentary in the sense of, like, he's kind of, like, trying to play it cool.
Yeah.
But, like, he does have, like, this remorse. Like, he gets to the point where he emails Dianne Feinstein, and he's like, oh, I got a response, like, an out-of-office thing. He's like, oh, well, they don't respond to anything without a California thing. And then the wife's like, well, honey, do you want to call? Like, do you want to call later? We can call. And he's like, I guess I don't.
But they
I
must
guess.
Be on the East Coast because she's saying
they're
like,
in France.
Oh, because they're talking about the time difference.
They live in France.
Oh, you're right, because she's talking about, I would like to live in the United States.
Yeah, I'd like to live there. And he's like, I don't want to live there.
But why was he email? What was the email? What? Why?
Well, she was like one of the big people that spoke out about getting it banned.
Mm. And he wants it. Is he saying do it?
I think she was, his wife was kind of saying, like, maybe there's something that you can do and try to speak up and try to get it. Because he sold off his rights. He has no rights
right.
in the book. He gets no money from
it. It's hard to say, like, even, you can't really even speak out against it because it's just more press for it. And people are like, oh, there's a book that tells you how to make napalm? Like, let me Google it.
Yeah.
Like, so, there's no way to, like, put it to bed.
I mean, the problem is, like, at this point, there's no way to, like, get rid of it. There's, like, 2 million copies in publication. His mom has a copy.
Yeah.
Which even the wife is like, I think that's kind of funny. And he's like, it is kind of funny. But his, like, if they were to get a band and it was no longer sold, people would still, like, trade it and buy it or just scan it in. And I could probably go on Pirate Bay right now.
Oh, for sure.
And find a copy.
Certainly.
And just download it. So, like, it's out there. It's over. But is it protected by the First Amendment, you think?
I think everything's protected by the First Amendment.
Well, you can't scream fire in a movie theater.
I think you should be able to.
I'm saying, but you can't, though.
I guess. I see what you're saying.
Like, no, but yeah, what I'm saying
it's
is,
like, by law.
I'm saying the Supreme Court has ruled that you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, free speech is limited to, like, you can't say things like to incite a riot or, like, cause danger to people. So I feel like maybe it shouldn't be protected, but nobody's like.
Seems dangerous. But he brings up a great point. They always bring it up anytime they do, like, the gun conversation of, like, the guy, the person that's stamping out the Smith & Wesson guns. Is he responsible for bad stuff that happens? It's like, no, probably not, but maybe a little bit. But the either way, the responsibility is not zero. So, like, this book isn't, even if he's not to blame, like, it's still part of the story of bad stuff happening. So there, like, it's not a good book.
No. But I think also the point is, like, are we holding him, like, should we hold him responsible for this information being out there? I don't think we should.
No, because he didn't really put it out there, but he made it easier.
I don't think there's any more violence in the world than there would be right now because of this book.
Do you think if there wasn't gun manufacturers, but there was the instructions on how to make a gun, there would be more or less gun deaths? Less. Just by ease of access.
What kind of gun deaths do you mean? Like accidental shootings? Or, like, do you mean, like, violent crime?
Movie theater shootings. School shootings. There'd be less.
Maybe.
So
It depends on how easily, like, if there's instructions out there, but also depends on the ease of getting the materials.
Right.
Like,
okay, but I'm so just saying, if because there are guns in the world, it's easier to shoot people, so it happens more than if there wasn't.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This makes it easier, so it is responsible for more deaths than if it wasn't out there. Even if the information is outspread out over a million different places.
Right, but I'm just saying, I think it goes back to the people that are doing the acts are going to find a way to do something anyway. So maybe instead of killing 20 people, they kill 15 or they kill 10 or 7. And yes, that would be better, but it would still make the news, and they'd be like,
right,
this guy went crazy and stabbed 7 people instead of this guy went crazy and shot 20 people.
You can kill one person, make the news.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it would make like national news, and they'd be like, "Guy went crazy, stabbed 7 people." So, I mean, I thought it was interesting. It was just kind of an interesting like character study, but of him, and he does wish that he had done more. The one thing I thought was interesting is they don't actually show him calling Dianne Feinstein. Either she wouldn't like let that footage be used, or they never actually got a hold of her while the filming was going on.
I don't know. I like the not that I like, but I think he's just willingly ignorant. Like, he just, in the same way that the wife is like, I don't know that person. It's almost like he's like, I'm not that person. Like, it's like the amount that you thought about the Anarchist Cookbook before watching this movie is the amount he thinks about it. Like, it's just not a thing that's part of his life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like it's the same thing. Like, think about something, like, you feel bad about doing, like, when you were a teenager.
Just all of it.
But, like, think about one thing. Like, how often do you really think about that one thing?
Right, right, right.
Like, and then if it was something that, like, you could kind of search and kind of, like, find, like, ties to it and stuff if you went out and actively looked for it.
Like if you started ISIS when you were a teenager.
Okay, let's say you started ISIS. Let's come up with a third guy on this podcast. We'll call him
Steve. Steve. I hope you're watching.
Yeah. Steve. Steve. Steve goes out and starts ISIS.
Were you trying to create a different name?
Well, no, I was trying to think of how Steve would start ISIS. Like, Steve goes to the Middle East.
And probably with the Anarchist Cookbook.
He's like, oh, man. I got this Anarchist Cookbook. I got this really nice car.
Listen, you guys got the shotguns.
I have tons of money. And, like, he's just, like, a dick to everybody. And then they get pissed off, and they're like, why are you like this? And he's like, I'm from America, bro. And
they touched me in my jockstrap, bro.
Yeah, and he's like, America rules. You guys suck. And they're just like, we're going to kill you now. And then they kill him, and then they're just like, what's this Anarchist Cookbook? And
so
then
he starts it as, like, a good guy.
Hang on, like, he didn't die. Because he has to think about it later.
Right. He just leaves. He shows up, gives them all the middle finger, and then goes home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They try to shoot him. He runs away in his fast car. Leaves the Anarchist Cookbook behind. Leaves the country. And then he's like, I think I might have started ISIS.
Right.
Like, but like,
would he think about that?
Would he, how often would he try to like research and figure out if he actually started,
like,
ISIS?
Every time there's a train bombing, is he like, oh, is this because of the thing I did?
Yeah, like, how is he trying to track down, like, who's involved, and was it, you know, the one guy in the group that wasn't named Muhammad that he like met with, and like that kind of thing? Like, is he trying to figure out his connection to the people that did that? No, probably not
that much. No.
So, like, I think it's like his brain is just like, He's just developed this filter where his brain's just like, nope, not going to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, oh my God, that's awful. And I think the only time that it actually, like, clicked with him from Columbine was because somebody, like, sent him, like, a video clip and was just like, your book's in this movie, and it was found with, like, the Columbine guys. And then there's, like, this, like, dude talking to Michael Moore, and he's like, Anarchist Cookbook, like, I've made things. And he's like, you've made bombs? And he's like, yeah, man, I haven't used them, but I've made them. And I'm like, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Does that mean you haven't blown anything up, like, intentionally, but, like, you've, like, just blown up an explosive in a field somewhere?
Yeah, maybe. I think, like, I haven't used them to hurt somebody.
Yeah, but he's like, I haven't like used them as a weapon, but, like,
you should have seen that stump, dude.
Yeah. I was gonna take out this Christmas tree for 1 year, I mean, it ended up being real short because we only got the top of it. It was a big tree, but we only ended up getting the top. Everything else was incinerated.
How about the pictures from that? I think it was the movie theater shooting guy, like the Batman shooting guy, the Aurora shooter.
Yeah, which is so weird how they refer to that, too. And he's like, what about the Aurora shooting or whatever?
He's like, hold on.
Is that with the Batman guy? And he's like, yeah, it's with the Batman guy. Okay, but yeah, I'm weird.
His house was, like, booby-trapped with, like,
yeah,
a bunch of stuff. But that being okay, in just general knowledge, I haven't read the Anarchist Cookbook. I haven't looked up explosives. But if I was going to make an explosive, I'd figure out how to make something explode, and then I'd put 2 liters of gasoline around. That's not really something you need a book to tell you. Like, I could have figured that out.
Yeah. Well, all an explosion really is just pressure. So, like, technically, like, if I take a 2-liter bottle of something, I dump it out, fill it up part of the way with water, and throw in a thing of dry ice and throw it. Like,
right.
I've created an explosive device, basically.
Right.
Because the pressure will build up and it'll explode. And if somebody's standing next to it, like, it's not really necessarily going to hurt them.
They're going to have that Call of Duty, like,
yeah. It's just going to be like, and they're going to be like, I can't hear anything. You know, I just thought of that.
They're going to freak out every time they see a Mountain Dew bottle flying through the air.
Yeah. Run!
They were all Mountain Dew bottles, too, in the kids' house, obviously.
Of course. What's the name of the Las Vegas shooter guy?
Billy the Kid? Or are you talking the newer one?
The new one. What I'm wondering is, did the Las Vegas shooter have... Steven Paddock, that was his name. I'm just curious, like, did he have a copy? No, they don't say that.
But like you said, there's so many. You could just Google it. You could Google how to make a rocket launcher now.
Yeah.
Like, there's a zillion other ways to...
Well, I knew... we did a Secret Santa in college. And one of my friends made their Secret Santa person a potato gun.
Yeah.
Which,
with like hairspray or something?
Yeah, with a PVC pipe and hairspray and a lighter. And like, you could very easily make that into something much more dangerous.
I mean, it's pretty dangerous on its own.
I mean, yeah, it is. I mean, it's pretty bad. We didn't shoot anybody with it, so
we didn't use it.
Oh, no, I mean, we used it. We shot it at a building across the street.
Yeah.
It was like a big like metal warehouse thing across the street from where they lived. So, like, nobody got hurt, but there was some potato on the wall that day.
You have a really good building around you that it would be a great potato gun target. It's like a bunch of windows, but it's like nobody is there. It's like a warehouse.
Well, not yet. Wait, you mean across the street?
Yeah.
That's going to be a school.
No.
Yeah, that's supposed to be a school.
That's a big, like, empty lot.
I'm
talking about that one building that's like an abandoned building that has like a bunch of windows.
Oh, not right next to my house, just by my house.
Not next to your house, but like around the area of your house.
No, I think that's still...
Really?
Yeah, I think that's still...
It's a terrible work environment.
The one that was... Like, are you talking about like down this road down here?
It has... Half of its windows are shattered. It's a building. It's like...
I think they still...
That direction.
I think they still use it.
That's a terrible place to work.
I don't know anything about that, but I think it's still a... I think it's still a functioning factory. Functioning mill, I should say.
That's how, even if I had the Anarchist Cookbook, I'm not a person that would use it. So it's just about the person.
See, I would want to know.
I've walked past that building a million times, and I always think about, I would like to throw a rock through that window, but I never have.
See, I would want to know the knowledge just for, like, the day when they're just like,
it's done.
Civil War, and I'm just like, oh no, and I just have to like go on the run. I have to improvise bombs and stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm just saying, like, I'll be able to do that just in case.
I'm sure it'll be helpful.
Yeah. I mean, in a Civil War kind of situation, like, how many Mountain Dew bottles, how much dry ice can I find?
I don't know. You gotta really...
I can only make... Really, I mean, really, my only weapon is going to be like a Mountain Dew bottle filled with piss and dry ice.
You're just throwing at people, and they're like, he's just throwing bottles at us. We're like, technically, they're explosives.
Yeah, they're just like, no, it's not. And then it goes off, and they're just like, I can't hear anything. Can you hear anything? No, but you smell like piss.
It smells like piss.
This is awful. Yeah, I feel like they would just be like, well, let's just stop chasing this guy.
Oh, no, he's crazy.
Yeah. He's got a whole bunch of piss and dry ice.
I think he had like 6 or 7 more bottles.
He must have been saving it up. I hope this is the new stuff, because the old stuff's got a smell.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I don't know.
I just don't know either.
I'm just saying, I just want to know. I think it might also partially be because I just watched the movie The Foreigner with Jackie Chan.
Oh, yeah. Was it basically Taken?
It was good. No, no. Really? Spoiler, daughter dies at the beginning.
Yeah, in the bomb.
Yeah, so it's not like Taken at all. It's not like he's trying to find his daughter. No, but it's basically Taken. But he's like, you killed my daughter. No, because he's like, I want to know the names. So he actually starts terrorizing...
The government.
The government guy, who's like, I can't give you the names. Because he's Irish.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't give you the names. And he's like...
You will give me the names.
Yeah, he's like, you give me names. He's like, you will change your mind. And then he leaves, and then he, like, blows up the bathroom. And then
he might have the energy.
Yeah, and then he just starts... Well, he does it with, like... He feels like... Well, he had special forces training, too. But it was, like, bottles filled with, like, just what looked like soda. And then, like, he tied it to a string and, like, lit a match and timed a fuse or whatever so that then the string broke, and when they crashed to the ground, there was an explosion.
And then my piss is everywhere!
Joke's on you! I can't give you the names, I'm covered in piss. Anyway. I mean, it's worth watching.
Yeah, I wanted to watch it. I like Jackie Chan.
I meant Anarchist Cookbook. No, The Foreigner was really good. Jackie Chan is really good.
Yeah.
It's also got Pierce Brosnan, who's really good.
Yeah, and an Irish guy.
Yeah. No, Pierce Brosnan is the Irish guy.
What?
He was actually born in Ireland, and then he went to the UK, and then he, like, has a British accent. But I'm assuming...
He based that off one of his best friends. Oh, no.
The Irish accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Or maybe his own accent. It was just like... I mean, I don't know, like, and then it got me wondering, like, does Pierce Brosnan, like, when he's home hanging out, just, like, talk, you know, do, like, not talking his, like, Pierce right. Brosnan accent, right. But it's just like, I can't give you the names. Like,
Bond, James Bond.
I wanted to play it as an Irishman. Honey, go to sleep. Fine.
It's like, you're pissing everywhere.
I gotta fill these bottles. Anyway, I would say American Anarchist is worth a watch if anything that we've said has interested you at all.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a must watch, but it's a fine watch if you're interested at all. Like if I had Vivian Mayer as a must watch, this isn't on that same level for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had one more thing about it.
Okay.
The very end of the movie, he asks him about the second book that he made.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost like a bio, or almost it's a history book.
It's a historical novel
about the assassin of Archduke Ferdinand, which kickstarted
World War One.
It's called like the First Casualty.
Yeah. Oh wait, was it World War One or
World War One?
Okay.
Yeah. So he's so in. It's the only answer during the whole movie that he doesn't like think about it for a couple seconds. He's firing off points. He's like, yeah, this. And then like the guy, and he's like super like bad. And like, he really wants, like, he's like a super believer and he's like really into it. And then they're like, don't you think that sounds like you at all? And it's like black screen. I'm like, oh no.
Oh yeah. Doesn't he actually say something at the end?
Something. There, but
and
it's
he's just like, why?
It's a really good
part. Yeah, he's just like, how so, or something like that. Like, he's just like,
it's a really good part that, like, he's like, it's like this young kid. He's like, and he was just a kid, and he literally was a schoolboy, and he really believes in what he's talking about. And I'm like, yeah man, that was like you when you wrote this book.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a true believer.
But, like, and that caused all those deaths in World War One, which is a bad thing, maybe. I don't know. But this book caused all these deaths, which is a bad thing. I don't know. So, like, it's very similar.
I'm going to fuck with this mic stand for a second here.
I thought you were just going to hold it. You're going to go Jerry Seinfeld style.
What's
the deal with napalm? You can't hold it in your palm.
So why is it called napalm?
It should be called, get it out of my palm.
Sounds good.
Thanks. Hey, Jerry Seinfeld connection to Long Shot.
Yeah, I guess, kind of, I guess. That's one way to do it. So there's one trailer for it that's two minutes long, which is basically almost the length of the movie.
Yeah, the movie is 40 minutes.
Yeah, okay, Long Shot, that was yours.
That was mine. Long Shot is... hold on, I was scrolling through some stuff. Director is Jacob LaMandola. He has not directed anything else of note that I could see. It's this Mexican guy, Juan Catalan. He's arrested for a murder that he says he didn't do. It's a short, like I said, it's a short documentary trying to prove his, it kind of just as a, in the courthouse type of the course of the trial.
Yeah. It could have been like a, it literally could have been like ABC 2020 special.
For sure. Yeah. It could have been 60 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm Brian Gumbel. Is he on 60 minutes?
I don't think anymore.
I think Barbara Walters.
I think Brian Gumbel just does Real Sports.
Yeah.
On
Gumbel to Gumbel.
HBO. And Barbara Walters, I don't think she just pops up once in a while, doesn't it?
Did you do a goal pool?
Deadpool?
Yeah.
We're picking it, actually.
I just did my five.
Actually, we're supposed to do it at five, depending on how long we talk. Do you want to sit in on the, but you're wrong?
Because I have my picks.
And you can add to the Deadpool?
How many do you pick?
We do 10, nine regular ones and one wild card.
I do,
but we do it like a draft.
What? Can I have any part of it? Like, even if I get last picks on everybody, I would like to be into it.
Okay.
Like, you can do all the picks and I'll just pick mine at the end. So I don't want to ruin the thing, but like, I definitely want to have some picks going.
Okay. All right.
And I'm not going to tell you my picks because they're, I feel like, actually pretty good. And they're deep. Like, I don't have, like, just the obvious ones. I've got deep ones. Also, my wild card? Pretty good.
So, are you gonna pick more?
Well, we have a thing with my family, so I have all of their picks that I can choose from as well. So, I'm...
Okay.
I got a lot of...
Do you want in on the bet?
Is it money involved?
We usually do. I think the first year we did like a nice dinner. The next year we did like a vinyl. So I think I have to buy Greg a vinyl.
I don't want a vinyl.
But whatever you want, that's like simple. I'll buy you like a DVD or something. Like
I don't Blu-ray. Want a DVD.
I don't know. What do you want? Like $20?
I don't want that either. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
But okay. So like yeah. So like the winner gets one thing from the other people, or one thing from each person.
I don't know. We've only done it with two people.
All right. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Is he? Did you ask him if it's cool? No presh.
Yeah, no. I said, are you no cool presh. With that? I said, so I'm recording with John for the doc show. We should be wrapped up by five. But he was asking about the Deadpool. I want to sit in. You cool with that?
No presh. No presh. I have some really good picks though. And they're not just like, oh, I Googled who's going to die.
Totally, yeah, he's totally fine with it.
Cool. But like, I didn't just go like, oh, like, who's going to die? And like, is it going to be an actual show? Like, But You're Wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So I got to be here for another 4 hours?
Well, Greg can only do like 45 minutes.
Oh, good. I'm into
that. So it'd be till like six.
Good, because we got Golden Globes tonight, and I got to see that red carpet.
All right. anyway, let's... Okay, did you finish talking about we started talking about Barbara cool, Walters?
Dead people.
Yeah, okay. Sidetracked.
Did I think that Barbara Walters was going to die? Is that what started it?
I think so. Hey,
she's not on my list.
Yeah, so listen to episode 328.
That is nuts.
Of But You're Wrong for
how long have you been doing it? How many years?
It's been like 5 years.
That's really impressive. That's awesome.
I think it's been like 5 years.
That's super good. Now, it's basically follows a court case of this Mexican guy that says he's innocent.
Yeah, here's the trailer.
I wasn't supposed to be at that game. It was like any other day, but as soon as I opened the door, I was completely surrounded, like SWAT style. My daughter, she looks up and she says, "Dad." I told him, "I'm gonna get you out of here." I asked him, "Do you remember where you were?"
I was at a Dodgers game.
I got to find the holy grail of Juan's defense. I need to place my client at Dodger Stadium on that night. Juan remembered they may have been filming something there that day.
The episode was that I picked up a hooker in the carpool lane and took her to Dodger Stadium.
We were in for an enormous fight. The prosecutor they assigned to the case had never lost. She liked to pick off people with the death penalty. I looked at tape after tape.
We shot in two sections in Dodger Stadium.
There's 56,000 people at this game. How could you possibly be on camera?
I wasn't supposed to be at that game, and that would play in my head over and over.
I look for eyewitnesses and the tickets. I could not afford to miss anything.
The kids wanted to know when I was coming home, and I didn't have an answer.
So there's that.
So yeah, so
I guess it's not a spoiler because it's part of the trailer, but the Curb Your Enthusiasm HBO Larry David show is part of this story.
Yeah. Yeah. Larry David.
Do you like Curb Your Enthusiasm? I love it.
I've watched...
It's one of my favorite shows.
I've watched, I think, the first couple seasons, and then I haven't yet. I keep meaning to go back to it. One of my favorite jokes I saw in the... Because sometimes I think I reached the point where, like, I was trying to binge watch it, and then it got, like, real uncomfortable.
Okay.
Because I'm not a big fan of that, like, that uncomfortable humor.
All right, sure.
Which it did a lot of. Uh-huh. So I was like... But my favorite one... let me just see if I can find it.
All right. Larry David and the water bottle?
No, it's like from like the first episode.
Oh, wow.
You got the outfit on, you might as well just wear it till it's completion. Maintain the outfit.
Till it's completion.
Yeah. Hey, so you think you can take care of this this obituary thing?
Done deal, man.
Really?
4 o'clock's a deadline.
Great.
You get it to me by 4 o'clock. Great. And I'll get it to him, I'll fax it over.
Thanks so much.
No problem.
Very nice of you.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure.
That'll score some big points for the family.
How did she die?
Killed herself.
No, she didn't.
Killed herself.
Why?
Why? Nobody knows. She didn't leave a note. That is so rude, isn't it?
That's really rude.
I mean, if you leave your house for 10 minutes to go get a container of milk, you tell somebody where you went, don't you?
I leave my wife a note. Where you anywhere?
Yeah. Would have killed her to leave a note?
Oh. That's a good joke.
Would have killed her to leave a note?
That is a good joke.
Yeah, no, but I've seen bits and pieces here.
But specifically,
dipped my toes in the water.
This episode that they're talking about is a funny episode, and it's a funny premise.
I don't think I've seen this one, so I wanna check it out. But do you remember, like, is he actually like in a shot? That's why I want to go back and look and see.
I can't
if
remember.
He's in a shot.
I can't remember, but I remember being, now that I'm thinking about it because of this. It's a full Dodger Stadium, and it's the only way that you could shoot a full Dodger Stadium is to shoot it at a Dodgers game.
Yeah.
And that's just interesting to me that they shot an HBO show during it.
Yeah, and they're just like, well, I guess we're doing this then.
But yeah, it's all just by chance.
What's interesting, I thought it was interesting, is he was charged with the murder of a woman who testified against his brother.
Yes.
Because his brother was being into gangs, and then he was like, I'm not getting into this.
There are connections.
And then... even though he wasn't involved in it, he still ended up getting involved in it.
Right. So there's his lawyer, who I think does a really good job, and the prosecution lawyer, who seems to be good at her job, but kind of like a bitch. They're like two of the interviews you get to see. But Juan bought his mom tickets to a Dodgers game for a Mother's Day present.
With the knowledge she's not going to go,
so he'll go, and he ends up taking his daughter, see the Dodgers. It turns out to be a really great game. It's tied 4-4 going into the ninth inning. They put in Eric Gagne, and I remember his name because he sounds like not Eric Gagne, someone Gagne. I remember his name because he sounds like a hockey player, but he's a Los Angeles Dodgers closing pitcher. He ends up giving up 7 runs. The game ends 11-4. They leave. Somewhere after the game, let's say the game ends 9 10:30-ish or something like that. So at 10:30, there's a murder on a street that he's very close to. The chick is someone that has testified against his brother. Also, and there's a composite sketch, which I think they show in the trailer, that looks very similar to
him. Yeah, well, so my wife watched part of this with me, and I was like, so, but then there was like a sketch that looked like him, and she goes, like a normal Hispanic guy? And I was like, yeah,
basically. It looks like everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody could have fit this description. I mean, it's just a Mexican dude with a mustache. But that also leads, and spoiler alert to this movie is he gets off.
Yeah.
But this must happen all the time then. This can't be the one case that it happened. Like, they must just search for Mexican guy and arrest people all the time.
You mean, like, wrongfully,
yeah.
Like, arrest people and yeah. charge people? Well, probably. But, see, the thing that made that, like, that focused them on him was not only the description, the, like, sketch, but the fact
the
that,
sister.
It was the woman involved, like, with putting his brother in jail.
Right. But you do find out in the end that that woman, the actual killers that they find at some point doing something, she was working with the police to like as like an informant or something against this other gang.
Yeah.
So this lady was kind of a narc.
Yeah. I mean, she was putting herself in bad situations.
Yeah.
But why was she working with the police? Probably because they busted her on something big. Like, let's be honest here. Like, that's when you work with the police.
Right. But they...
Like, if the police came to me and they were like, hey, there's a gang in town. Could you help us take them down? I'd be like, no, I didn't know. I'm
not
no.
me.
No, no. Does it have to be me? I mean, no, I guess
really
it doesn't have
be
to
anybody.
Be you. But, I mean, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it.
No.
Like Chill Factor. You ever see the movie Chill Factor? It's a terrible movie. The bomb has to be kept super cold. So, like, they enlist, like, an ice cream truck guy, who I think is the Cuba Gooding Jr. is the ice cream truck guy. But anyway, it has to be an ice cream truck, and it has to be that guy, because the bomb has to be kept super cold.
That, I mean, that makes sense.
That makes sense. But, like, what special skills do I have? They're just like
we need your French.
we need you to do a podcast with these gang members to get them to say something incriminating. I don't think they're going to go for it.
Like, have you heard our interview episode? I don't know.
I don't think I'm going to get him to confess to anything.
How do they feel about flounders?
Yeah. Let's see what they think about this video.
So they're tearing through. Obviously, one great way to say that he wasn't the guy that killed people is to say he was at this Dodgers game. And here he is on TV at the game.
Yeah.
There's no TV footage of him. Anything that there is very blurry. So that
they go through. They
like
go to the
Dodger Vision.
Dodger Vision,
which is like what they show on the big screen and like all that stuff.
Yeah.
So there's hours and hours of every camera angle trying to find him. The lawyer can pick out where his seats are. He said it's easy to pick out, like you count back 11 rows or whatever.
And they're like, "Well, it looks like him,
but it's super blurry."
Yeah,
because Dodger Vision.
Yeah. Dodgers by nature genetically have poor vision.
Now, I think, is his name Juan?
You know how you can tell that? They all have ugly girlfriends. Is that from Moneyball?
I have no idea. Also, the pitcher that gives up all the runs.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's from Moneyball. But
the pitcher that gives up all the runs in this game was wearing glasses. And I love baseball players who wear glasses. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
But that's just a side note for me.
That's weird. You love him like, ooh, John wants to have his baby.
No, like I love him like a brother.
Okay.
Juan.
Does not wear glasses.
Does not wear glasses. I don't know what his brother wears glasses. I'm not sure. But I'm sure they love each other, even though he's a bad guy. Juan. He says, when I was there at the game, there were people like with cameras all over the place, like right by us. And he was like, I looked at the cameras. It wasn't the case. So they talked to some dude. I don't know. He's like the director of like public relations for the Dodgers.
He's just
or something.
They talked to like the one manager guy, and then they talked to it puts him in touch with like the media guy.
Yeah. And they're going through the logbook of like, were there cameras here on this day, whatever. they find out it's a there's a production company, and the lawyer's like, I'm going to call this dude to see who's at the
and
game.
And he's like, I don't know this production company.
Yeah.
Because obviously it was just like, it was either a fake name or it was like...
Vista Productions.
It was like the production company for Curb Your Enthusiasm, but actually like goes to HBO.
Right. So they pick up and they're like, HBO. And he's like, yo, I love HBO.
Yeah. You know what else I love? Pictures of the glasses. Anyway.
So he, through that, they find out that it was the HBO show Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David, like we said, that was filming. They needed to have... they needed a Dodgers game at the in the storyline, so they filmed at the actual Dodgers game. The story goes in the Larry David version in the show.
Yeah,
he has tickets to a Dodgers game. He is going by himself, but he can't get through the traffic.
So he
wants to go through the POV lane. He picks up a prostitute to drive through the POV lane, get through the LA traffic. And then she just goes to the game with him. I can't remember why or something like
that. Yeah, I guess. Does I think he have maybe two tickets.
Yeah, I don't think he has the money for her or something. So he just gives her the game, and he's like, "I'll buy you food," and he's like, "I'll buy you all the stuff." He only has like a credit card or something.
Yeah, okay.
So they go to the game, and he wants to switch with Bob Einstein, who plays I can't remember his name on the show, but he wants to switch places with him, like trade seats. And he doesn't want to, obviously, because he's. His seats. So he's walking up and down the aisles like through like the episode, like as he keeps going from his seats to talk to his friend and all this other stuff. And that is the camera that shows Juan and his daughter walking to their seats at like 9:15. They have timestamps for all the things. 9:15. The murder happened at 10:30, so it doesn't like totally get him off, but it helps.
Because they were like, well, the prosecutor's still going to be like, well, you know, you guys are still... So what they end up doing was they basically ping his cell phone off of the tower near Dodgers.
Right, because he's calling his wife to say they're leaving the game.
Yeah.
This, that.
Because they could, and I was thinking about this, like, why couldn't they just have, like, the cell phone records and be like, well, his cell phone said he was here, but then I was like, oh, but, like, somebody else, he could have just given his cell phone to somebody else. So they have visual proof that he was at the game. And his cell phone pings off that tower.
I have a friend that got robbed at a bank. They said that, like, the investigators, like the FBI or whoever, like, is investigating it, they said that they're looking at his cell phone. Like, they're trying to, like, use his cell phone, like, the person they think it is or whatever.
Because
you know how, like, if you go to Google Maps, I can't even think of an app that does it, Facebook or whatever, it gives you a list of all the places that you're, like, around.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's always searching for, like, their Wi-Fi or their, like, whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, they can use that, like, way better than just using a cell phone tower, like, now.
Yeah.
To, like, pin, like, yeah, you were at McDonald's. We saw it. Like, that was, like, the closest place. So, like, you can get tracked, like, even better now.
Yeah.
That's cool.
My phone has been doing something real messed up.
Yeah?
It, like, I guess I go to Walmart too much. Because it tells me... Like, now when I get in my car, because before it was like...
Are you going to Walmart, Kate?
It was like, you're going to work. But now it's like, you're going to Pizza Hut. And I was like, why Pizza Hut? Like, Pizza Hut's close to Walmart, but I guess it just like...
Picked that.
It just is the closest place or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like...
Like where it says, right. Like, 6 minutes to get to Pizza Hut.
Yeah, it's like... Because normally I would get in my car, I would connect to my car, and it'd be like, 15 minutes to work. And I'd be like, okay, cool. But, like, every once in a while I get in my car and it'll be, like, 5 minutes to Pizza Hut. I'm like, what? I haven't been to Pizza Hut in forever.
I don't like Pizza Hut.
I don't either.
What's your favorite, like, chain pizza?
Marco's.
For real?
Yeah.
I don't have a Marco's, like, sample. I go Domino's.
Marco's is probably my favorite, chain pizza. After that... Do I really have to pick one?
No.
Okay.
But I did drive past Joey's today, and I was like, dang, that's good pizza.
I don't really like Joey's.
Joey's you can only have, like, at maximum once a month.
It's their sauce is too sweet for me.
I know. That's why it's, like, a specialty.
Yeah. But I don't like it. I don't like it because of that.
I heard they put Mountain Dew in it. That's just what I heard. I don't know.
Well, yeah. They gotta do something with the Mountain Dew that they dump out to the pee bugs. They gotta dump out that Mountain Dew, put it somewhere, then they got pee
That's
bumps.
Like the last that's in the appendix of the Anarchist Cookbook, like a sweet pizza.
Yeah. Let me tell you what you do. Okay, you take the Mountain Dew, you pour it out. You can save it for later if you want. You don't have to.
Every bomb making that has a bottle, it's like, pour out the Mountain Dew, but save it.
Yeah, and it's just like, did you save the Mountain Dew? You've been dumping out this whole time? Guess what? Pizza.
Have I got a sweet treat for you?
Pizza. They have holiday Mountain Dew. They had holiday brew Mountain Dew.
What does it taste like?
I don't know if you saw it. Cinnamon. Basically code red. It's just, it's code red mixed with regular Mountain Dew, so it's basically code red.
Right.
Anyway, that was a sidetrack. So they get him off after the cell phone thing.
Right.
Happy day. One thing that we forgot to mention was in trying to find and, like, confirm that he was there, they're also checking other, like, season ticket holders around him.
Right.
But everybody they talked to and, like, people that they tracked down from, like, all over were just like, I don't know, I was really focused on the game. Like, I don't feel comfortable testifying that I was, I'm like 100% sure that he was there.
There was Mexicans there.
There was a Hispanic man there with I think maybe a daughter. I don't know. Maybe just, it was just a really short Hispanic girl. I don't know. Sure. I was just focused on the game. I did notice Larry David was there because I'm a big Seinfeld fan. Loved him when he played the guy with the cape. And anytime he played George Steinbrenner, even though the Yankees suck, daughters rule. Anyway, I just can't testify. So you're like, oh, man.
Right.
So, but then they, like, start going through the tapes and everything.
I like that they explained that it was season tickets that he had bought. And he was like, just because it's a season ticket owner doesn't mean they're at the game. And I was like, yeah, we know how tickets work.
No, I think they were just explaining the fact that they had to, like, go
reach out to
over
other people.
Because it was like they had to go, like, out to Hawaii. The East Coast, Hawaii and stuff. Because, like, people were in town and they, like, picked up season tickets.
It was funny the way they the way he gave that sentence. He said, we went as far west as Hawaii and as far east as Chicago. And I don't know why, but I would have liked it to have been the other way around. Because whenever he said Hawaii, I was like, wow, that's really far west. And he was like, and as east as Chicago. And I was like, there's still a lot of stuff past Chicago. I don't know why. It just made me...
Chicago is, like, slightly in the other half, but, like...
It's not the east.
I mean, you know, nobody from, like, New York was out there or something. Nobody from Boston. I don't know.
And if you really think about it, he couldn't have been like, we went as far west as Los Angeles.
Well, no, it would have. I would have liked as if it was like, we went as far west as Japan.
Tokyo, Japan.
Yeah. You guys went to Japan? Yeah, it was real nuts.
Oh, man, it's great. These people sleep in pods, man.
Yeah, man. This is pods. This is crazy.
You're not going to believe this. That was the drop. That's where you do it. You're going to see this.
Oh, damn. Oh, man, I didn't have the thing up. Aw.
Save it.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So, they... I'm so mad now.
I know.
I'm so mad that I missed that opportunity. It's like...
We haven't used it yet,
when I worked on New Year's Eve, I realized that I should have spent the entire day... Like, it was, like, right before I left. I should have spent the entire day... telling every customer that left, I'll see you next year. Missed the opportunity.
Yeah. Did you the next day, did you tell everyone, like, oh, I feel like it's been a year since I've seen you?
No. I did say it to one semi-drunk guy.
See you next
year. And he thought it was hilarious.
Next year.
He loved it.
She should have just walked right back in and been like, ah, I guess it's not next year.
He wasn't that smart.
then you just say, sir, it is next year.
Yeah. He's like, whoa.
Every time I go
holy shit. That's what he said.
Yeah.
I spent a whole year outside.
Every time I go through a door, it's a new year.
Dude, I'm 5,000 years old.
How many years old are you? I'm 5,000 doors old.
You've only gone through 5,000 doors? We have an open floor plan at our house.
My wife loves it.
Yeah, and I always kind of poop with the door open.
So. Yeah. Holy shit. So he got off. And Larry David sometimes tells about the story at parties.
Oh, yeah. I also, like, I'm pretty sure Larry David's married, but he's also, like, you know, sometimes if I'm on a date or something.
I don't know if he's married.
I thought he was.
In the show, he's always dating people.
In the show, he is, but I actually thought he was. Well, he's married in the show at one point, right?
Yeah, but then they get a divorce. But I like they introduce...
Oh, he was married until 2007.
Oh, well, there you go. I do like that they introduce Larry, and he's almost in the Larry David character, because he's just whistling.
Yeah, he's like, what's that song? What's that song? What is that?
It's just a real Larry David style. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to interview you for the murder case. All right. What is that? What's that one old...
What's that song I'm trying to think of? What is that?
That's... Have you watched that toy show?
No, is that good?
I watched two of them. They're pretty good.
I'm going to try and find the Larry David thing. What I like, though, is that... they actually, like... The whole event has actually left, like, a huge impression on everybody involved with it. Like, the... So, the guy...
It actually turned out pretty well for him.
That guy, yeah. But, no, but the... So, back up, because we didn't talk about... The filming of the show had, like, specific rules, and they were like, look, you can't... Mm. You can't hold anybody up.
From, like, going up and down the stairs or any of that stuff.
So, like, if you... Here's a Larry David thing. So, like, if somebody wants to go back to their seat, you can let them go. Or, like, if they don't want to be on camera, just be like, hey, just give me a... Like, just take a second. So, they were like... There was a guy there, and he was like, well, hang on. And then... He's like, I guess I thought that the camera had stopped. So I was just like...
It's like a PA or something. He's like, I do a bad job.
Yeah, he was just like, okay, go ahead. So that's the first, like, one that they catch him on.
Right.
And that's, like, I guess, like, the closest, like, one, because it's actually in the aisle that he was in.
Right, which is and crazy,
like,
chance.
He, like, you see him walk in, and he's holding his daughter's hand, and then, like, she goes in, and, like, he turns, and he kind of, like, looks back, and then you're like, oh, that's definitely
that's that guy.
Him. But then there's other ones where you can, like, see him in the seats and stuff. But that was the first one that they show where you're just like, whatever. But the guy, I wrote down his name, actually. Robert Gajic?
Hmm, okay.
Because when they look at the video, he's like, wow. And, like, almost seems like he's about to cry. Like, he's just like, my mistake just saved this guy's life.
Right.
Because everybody knew that... If it actually went to trial, because I guess this was a preliminary hearing, if it actually went to trial, she was going to, and he was found guilty, the prosecutor was going to go to the death penalty. Here's Larry David's introduction.
What's that song?
What is that song?
Curb Enthusiasm was a comedy that was on HBO. It starred Larry David, the creator.
Real Larry David moment.
Yeah, I think Larry David is just always Larry David. I think that's just literally who he is.
That's good. I love
But even he was just like, I can't believe that this happened.
But so all the rarities, that's a long shot that he got off.
Yeah.
The camera angles used.
Long shots.
Long shots.
Long shots.
What do you think about that?
That's a good connection.
Yeah.
And it was a long... No, I have no connection
shot.
To...
Yeah. It was a long shot that killed that guy. Or that girl. Or whatever.
And then American Anarchist, I'm sure there was a thing about long-distance shooting.
Shooting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shots.
No, this was good. It's 40 minutes. So it's definitely worth watching.
It's 40 minutes. Honestly, like, it could have been 20 minutes.
You're just like, I can't believe that this actually happened.
Yeah. And it was just unique that it was a Larry David, like, it wasn't like a Law and Order episode or some, like, serious thing. It was Larry David walking up and down between a prostitute and his friend.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah, it's just like yeah, it's also a little bit absurd that it was, like, Curb Your Enthusiasm that was doing it. And they're just like, what?
Yeah.
Because when did this happen?
I think they said it was season 3 of Curb.
So, like, it was... I don't think Curb had really quite taken off to be, like, known by everybody. So it was still kind of like a new thing. So everybody's like, what's Curb Your Enthusiasm? Like, I don't have HBO. I'm not paying for that stuff.
I don't have HBO, man. If you're Hispanic. But yeah, it was good. I liked it too.
Yeah, no, it was.
And knowing that it was 40 minutes long, I also was very easily watched.
Yeah. But
do you have a connection between two other than just shootings?
Not really, actually.
Baseball, Mexico.
They're almost kind of like opposites. Like the one guy kind of regrets it, and then everybody's like, "I'm so glad that this happened and this worked out."
You see, the cops got in trouble too. I think they were like, "Did you lie?" And like, "Yeah, we lied. We got that guy in trouble for no reason."
Yeah, it was almost like a Making a Murderer kind of thing, where right. They kind of kept trying to like trick him and like whatever, and like
they brought him like a piece of paper with a bunch of different Mexican guys, and his picture was circled.
Yeah,
and like they did it.
Yeah, so he got like $300,000 or something.
Yeah, cool, man.
From him. Oh, we forgot a postscript. They both had postscripts.
Did they?
Yeah.
What did this one have?
Well, this one was about...
Oh, the other one was big. Yeah, we didn't talk about that at all.
I don't know how big the other one was.
The Anarchist Cookbook one was surprised. It was big.
I mean, so he died.
Way to drop that one.
he died unexpectedly, is what they say. And I was like, what does that mean?
Bomb making.
I was like, did he like die in a bus crash or something? And then, turns out he had a heart attack while vacationing with his family in Canada.
So they say.
So.
Allegedly. That's just the end of that.
I was trying to think of another connection. We didn't really have a good connection this time.
Just some murders.
Yeah.
There's a rough association with murders.
Yeah.
Not firsthand association, but they were connected to murders.
But yeah, both connected to murders, did not actually kill anyone.
Whoa, okay.
All right, do you have your picks?
I don't, but I'm interested in whatever you were going to suggest.
Okay.
Is that the name of it?
AlphaGo, yeah.
Is that the name of the documentary?
I was trying to figure out, because I wasn't sure what you were going to go with, so I was trying to figure out what I wanted to go with, and I had like, couldn't narrow it down. I think I'm gonna go for something possibly a little more lighthearted.
And this is on Netflix as well. I can't believe I haven't seen it.
I just noticed it like a week ago.
It's an hour and a half long, so I can deal with that.
I think I'm a little low here. Oh, that maybe because I turned myself down.
A little alpha low.
Yeah, there we go. All right, so is that where you're going to go with?
So my choice is going to be on Netflix. It's called AlphaGo. This description is way too long, but it's a board game. It used to be, like, chess used to be the benchmark of can we make a computer that can beat someone at chess? We've obviously been able to do that. AlphaGo has infinitely more, not infinitely actually, but has a lot more possibilities. So they thought there's no way they'll make a computer that can beat a human at AlphaGo, and they did.
So this is the thing for it. Seemingly simple but deceptively complex, the game of Go serves as the backdrop for this battle between artificial intelligence and man.
Yes, very good.
But Go is a game that you talked about.
This blows my mind, I think.
I think you talked about it on there, but you also talked about it on here.
Oh, for sure. Really?
When we were talking about Brooklyn Castle, I believe.
Oh, that's cool. You were talking about getting into chess. You ever get into chess?
I bought a chess set.
You want to play real quick?
Not right. Well, maybe in a minute.
All right, cool.
Let's wrap this up.
Not right now.
I mean, not like right this second. Not right immediately.
All right, so that's my pick on Netflix. Check it out.
All right. What do I want to go with then? We just did betting on zero, so I don't want to do a banking one.
Mm-hmm.
And we just did some crime runs. Pick A or B.
B.
All right. It is going to be also on Netflix, Drunk, Stone, Brilliant, Dead.
What?
The story of the National Lampoon.
Is that like a newspaper? Or like a magazine?
So, like, well, you know National Lampoon.
I know it from, like, Christmas Vacation.
The, yeah. So they started as like a magazine, almost like a, I guess like a Mad magazine. Well, you were just like, I don't understand. I don't get what that is.
Send and
I
was
like,
magazine. You know. The answer is yes.
Yes. But you're just like, I don't know what that is. It was born, this is the description on Netflix. National Lampoon was born in the 70s to poke fun at the establishment and everything else. This documentary celebrates those who formed its legacy. And I'll be honest, I picked it because there's a National Lampoon movie coming out. I think also on Netflix.
Okay.
Here it is. A futile and stupid gesture. That's like a film version of this. So I figured I'd just get a little bit of a background.
When does that come out?
January 26th.
Okay, so coming up.
What I find interesting about this one, though, is Joe McHale plays the Chevy Chase character in that movie.
Community.
Yeah. And the fact that they hated each other while making Community.
I did not know that. I don't know anything about Community other than it's awesome.
And done by the Rick and Morty guy.
Yeah.
So we will see you, I guess, hopefully in 2 weeks. So actually, by the time the episode goes out where we talk about the next set of documentaries, that movie will already be out on Netflix. Okay. But that's fine. But they're both about an hour and a half, so that'll be easy.
Easy. Alpha Go and Drunk, Stoned, Brilliant, Dead.
Yeah. That is it for this episode of The Documentary Show. Join us next time, and thank you for listening.
Again.